New and gently used inventory arrives daily. For a list of in-stock items or additional live-action games information, please visit lag217.com or call 217-359-4863. That's 217-359-GAME.
And you are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Stay tuned now for Disability Beat. This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for a pre-recorded interview with Karen Tamley, President and CEO of Access Living in Chicago. But first, disability news for the week of June 30th, 2025. The Trump administration is proposing major changes to federal housing assistance in its 2026 budget request, including a 44% cut to the Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, and a 43% cut to rental assistance programs. The plan would shift much of the responsibility for housing aid to states through block grants and impose two-year time limits on many housing choice voucher recipients. The proposal follows recommendations from the Conservative Heritage Foundation's Project 2025, aiming to reduce federal oversight and encourage state-level control. Critics say the shift would cause widespread harm, especially to families with low incomes, older adults, and people with disabilities, by destabilizing rental aid and putting more pressure on under-resourced states. Advocates warn that this could lead to increased homelessness and housing insecurity, particularly in high-cost or rural areas. Landlords and housing providers also express concern about losing predictability and uniformity in voucher programs, which they rely on for consistent rental income. Although the plan is still only a proposal and must be approved by Congress, housing experts and local agencies are alarmed by the potential consequences of dismantling key elements of the federal housing safety net. The U.S. House has passed the Charlotte Woodward Organ Transplant Discrimination Prevention Act, a bipartisan bill that would prohibit denying organ transplants to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities based on their disability status. The measure bars discrimination in referrals, waitlist placement, and insurance coverage, and provides an expedited complaint process through the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office for Civil Rights. Despite prior guidance from HHS, advocates say the legislation is needed to ensure lasting protections and enforcement. Studies show people with developmental disabilities are significantly less likely to be evaluated or receive transplants, even though their outcomes are similar to others once they do. Named after Charlotte Woodward, a woman with Down syndrome who received a heart transplant in 2012, the bill is widely supported by disability rights groups and now moves to the Senate for consideration. A groundbreaking new hotel designed to far exceed the accessibility standards set by the Americans with Disabilities Act is set to become a reality in San Diego, Texas. The project, known as Morgan's Hotel, aims to redefine inclusive hospitality through what its founders call an ultra-accommodating approach, offering a personalized, affordable experience for guests of all ages and abilities. Once a reservation is made, guests interact with an AI concierge to communicate their specific needs and preferences, allowing the hotel to make customized preparations before arrival. The property will include oversized rooms, extra wide hallways, voice activated controls for greater independence, and staff trained to meet a wide range of accessibility needs. Said Gordon Hartman, founder of Morgan's, quote, "At Morgan's Hotel, we believe hospitality should be better for everyone without exception. This ground groundbreaking isn't just about construction. It marks the beginning of a movement to redefine what it means to be truly welcoming in the hotel industry, end quote. The hotel will be located near Morgan's Wonderland, a fully accessible theme park. Hartman opened in 2010 in honor of his daughter, Morgan, who has disabilities. Since then, the Morgan's brand has expanded to include a water park, an inclusive camp, and other accessible recreational facilities. Although initial conversations took place with major hospitality chains such as Hilton, Marriott, and Hyatt, the nonprofit behind the venture has decided to move forward independently with Morgan's Hotel as a boutique property. They plan to open in the fall of 2026. And finally, last week, we lost one of the most influential and compassionate disability advocates ever to live, John O'Brien. For those who may not know of his work, John was a visionary leader, lifelong champion of inclusion. He was a pioneer of person-centered planning and co-developed two transformative models, the McGill Action Planning System, or MAPS, and Planning Alternative Tomorrows with Hope, PATH. John believed in listening deeply, learning from each person, and imagining better futures. He challenged the systems and attitudes that created separation and limitations, always advocating for dignity, possibility, and true belonging. His legacy lives on in the people and movements he inspired. He will be deeply missed. And that's the news for this week.
There once was a teacher of great renown, whose words were like tablets of stone, to navigate the sea of sadness, to shield the fragile mind from madness. Gather your goods and follow me, as all around you perish.
You are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. I'm excited to introduce you to a first-time guest on the program, Karen Tamley, who is the president and the CEO of Access Living, one of the big and very important Centers for Independent Living in the state of Illinois. Welcome to the program, Karen.
Thank you so much for having me.
So why don't we talk a little bit about who you are and how you ended up at Access Living doing the work that you're doing. What brought you to that position in life?
Yeah, so I was born with a disability. I have used a wheelchair all of my life. And, I really started my career out in Washington, D.C., where I worked for a disability rights attorney. And that's what really got me started, learning, understanding, and really desiring to work in the disability movement. From there, I worked at another Center for Independent Living in Colorado. And then in 1996, if you can believe it, I was offered a job at Access Living and moved to Chicago, doing housing advocacy and policy work.
After that history, I believe that you were snatched up by Access Living. But yeah, sorry for the interruption. You go ahead.
No. I ended up after that taking a couple of other positions within the organization, including becoming the director of programs. And then in 2005, I was appointed by then Mayor Daley, the mayor of Chicago, to serve in his cabinet as the commissioner for the Chicago Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities. I served in that role for 14 years under three different mayors, and then came back in the role of CEO for Access Living in January of 2020.
So how's it been so far?
It's been amazing. I feel like I'm coming back to my roots, to my home in many ways. It's really where I got so much of my professional and career experience was at Access Living. And, I think for the beginning for me, it was a little tough because I started in my new role a week before the world closed down for the pandemic. So for the first 2 years of my role as CEO was very focused on addressing, COVID-19 crisis and its impact on our community. And, you know, it was much more challenging and difficult to get to know my staff, community partners, and other leaders because we were all working virtually. But it was also a time that was, in some ways, a silver lining because it allowed us to really hit a reset button and really think and rethink about the work we're doing. And it led to a new strategic plan that I'm really excited about.
Oh, we'll definitely have to talk about that. But let's talk a minute about Access Living. And I did mention, you know, that it is a center for independent living, as is PACE Incorporated here in the Champaign-Urbana area, much smaller agency. Is your work similar at Access Living?
It is. So Access Living is one of the 22 centers for independent living in Illinois. We do provide all the same core services that all the centers for independent living provide. That includes information referral, independent living skills training, peer support, and both individual and systemic advocacy, as well as transition services for those either moving out of nursing homes or institutions into the community or transitioning from high school to post-secondary or independent living for young people. So we all provide those same five core services, but I think every center for independent living is a little bit different. We're different because we're located in different communities. We represent and serve different geographies. So a center for independent living like Access Living, that's a very urban center for independent living, may have slightly different types of services, different challenges, different opportunities. So we're all a bit different in the ways in which we address and serve our community. So, for example, you know, in a rural community versus an urban, issues like transportation or housing might look different in terms of our approach or our service delivery. In Chicago, for example, we are currently about to launch a program supporting survivors of gun violence who have become disabled that's so prevalent in our urban area that may not as much impact another community in our state. So my point is really that centers really are purposefully designed to address the issues in the communities and the needs of people with disabilities that they are located in and serve.
And I suppose since you are located in Chicago, that Access Living is the largest agency of its type in the state. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yes, we are. So we were one of the first 10 centers for independent living in the country. We were founded in 1980, so we are now 44 years old. Mm-hmm. And we started as a very small storefront organization and now have our own building and almost 80 staff. So we've grown significantly over the last 44 years and, really doing so many great and diverse services and advocacy initiatives.
And now that COVID is essentially over, it's not completely over, obviously, but as you move into thinking about other areas, and you say you've developed this strategic plan, what are now some of the areas of focus that are taking the place of all the work that you did with COVID and holding your staff together for 3 years?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the pandemic was incredibly informative in terms of our refocus on some of the critical issues that were really that really rose to the surface during the pandemic. One, I would say, just economic disparities. We saw the real disparities in folks with disabilities during the pandemic, and that really led us to now have a very, very critical focus on addressing poverty in our community. Mm-hmm. We know poverty is very much of a through line. So we launched an economic justice initiative that is tackling poverty from both a systemic policy angle, but also from a direct services angle. So we augmented some of our direct services to help folks with disabilities with financial literacy and credit repair, building savings accounts, getting into ABLE accounts, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then we're also working at the state level to address systemic barriers. So the work on the Dignity and Pay Act to eliminate subminimum wage is a big legislative focus of ours in coalition with many of our partners across the state. And other legislative priorities that will help address and alleviate poverty in the disability community. So economic justice is one. The digital divide is a second new strategic priority. During the pandemic, we saw so many of our community that just didn't have access to devices, to be on Zoom and Teams and other virtual platforms. And so we felt that we really needed to do something. We launched a pilot where we distributed laptops to our consumers. We have received funding over the last year to really expand that program. So not only are we able to give devices to folks with disabilities in need, but we designed and are starting to implement a 5-week digital literacy course that is really supporting independent living through the use of computers and other devices. So that is going great. We have a waiting list, actually, for that program. And then I would also say that, equity in the area of healthcare was really, really something that was exposed during the pandemic. And so we are putting an increased focus on health equity. We know that disabled people fare worse than those without disabilities when trying to access healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And, we definitely saw that during COVID. And we just believe that there's a lot more that can be done, both in terms of opening up our healthcare systems to more access and opportunity for folks with disabilities, and that includes mental health. We're also launched a policy initiative around addressing mental health as well, because that was really rose to the top as one of the number one issues that our consumers were facing during the pandemic. So I would say those are some of the top priorities that we're now focused on.
And with your strategic plan, what are kind of the areas of focus that you're looking at for future development or changes to Access Living?
Yeah, so we want to expand our footprint into some of our more underserved communities of Chicago. Our city is large, and mm-hmm. we believe that we can do more to meet people where they're at. So that is one of our priorities that we're working on for 2025 and beyond. And then actually on Thursday, we're going to announce a new program that we're launching, and that is a program to support survivors of gun violence who have become disabled. We are seeing a dramatic increase in gun violence, not just in Chicago, but across the country. And while the focus on prevention is really critical, we felt that there hasn't been enough conversation on supporting survivors who have disability-related needs. And so we spent the last year and a half doing listening sessions with over 150 survivors about what kinds of needs do they have post-injury, where are services falling short for the community. And so we're going to release a paper on Thursday that will detail both the findings of our listening sessions, but also a set of recommendations for what we'd like to see. So this is a new program that we're going to be launching. We're hiring our first staff person that's coming on in the next few weeks. And so we're going to be able to provide more specific, tailored services to the community of survivors of gun violence who are disabled in Chicago.
That sounds totally amazing. So I'm going to ask you a little bit about what are the biggest challenges in being the president and CEO of Access Living? And in turn, what are the biggest joys of that position?
I would say, the biggest joys, I'll just start with that, is just seeing the impact that we are able to make every day. And whether that is on an individual basis, you know, helping someone to get access to an apartment that they weren't previously able to do. So, you know, to be able to get a housing voucher, you know, all those kind of little successes, moving someone out of a nursing home who is getting their own place for the first time, mm-hmm. those types of things, to the systemic and big policy issues, you know, the legislative wins, and just the real impact that we're having on changing people's lives. To me, that is what gives me the greatest joy and makes me the most proud to be in my role as CEO of Access Living. I think the challenges are always, you know, the number of issues that come at us. I always say that disability really touches everything we do, right? And there's always an accessibility or a disability angle to any policy, to any initiative, you know. And so there's just constantly things coming at us, either to work you know, towards, or to say that, you know what, this is not a good policy or a piece of legislation that we have to work to prevent. And so there's always things that are coming at you all the time, every day, that keeps you really, really busy.
I believe
and
that.
I just also think just the nature of running a big organization, you know, that always has challenges. But I would say that the joys and the things I'm proud of in terms of our successes far outweigh the challenges.
Yeah. And I would think, you know, 80 plus people working for Access Living, it's got to be a challenge trying to provide direction to people who are, at least for the few people that I know who work at Access Living, they are passionate. They're motivated, they're committed to the work that they do, and they have done some fantastic things. But as passionate and committed as they are, they might be running off in directions that don't really serve Access Living quite so well sometimes. Right?
We have some of the most dedicated staff that I've ever seen. I mean, people who are truly, truly committed their careers to disability rights, to advancing opportunities for people with disabilities. And so, again, that's the kind of thing that just really makes me so proud every day.
Yeah. And the challenge, from what I was hearing from you, is that it's really the systemic stuff that is the challenge. And, you know, trying to make changes in the way that the legislature does business in regard to people with disabilities, or even the city of Chicago, which give them credit for having their council that they've had for many, many years up there, the mayor's council. I have my own frustrations working with the incremental changes that come from the state of Illinois, and it's just not nearly fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, not every day is a win, and a lot of our initiatives that we're working on are long-term initiatives. Like you said, they don't happen overnight. They take patience and perseverance, but they're still important nonetheless, and we just have to keep at it.
Yeah, it's patience, perseverance, and oftentimes a lawsuit. You know, is the way it works in Illinois. So, yeah. So if people want to get more information about Access Living, where should they go?
They can go to our website, accessliving.org. So all of our programs, services, upcoming events are on there. You can sign up for our advocacy newsletter. That's a great way to stay in touch with all of what we're doing. And, yeah, all of our phone numbers for our services are on there. So if folks don't have digital access, they can give us a call and reach us there. 312-640-2100 is our number.
Okay. And is there anything that we didn't talk about that you wanted to mention?
I think you covered a lot of what we do. But, I mean, I just think that the role of Access Living and all the Centers for Independent Living in Illinois are absolutely critical. You know, disability is really universal, right? One in four of us have some form of disability. And I always talk about the work we're doing now isn't just about those of us with, living with disabilities currently. It's really about all of us in the future and what we want to see our world to be, right? How can we all collectively create a more accessible and inclusive world for everyone, not just now, but into the future? So I would just say that, you know, disability is universal, and we need the work of Centers for Independent Living now more than ever.
Absolutely. That is so well said. And I really do believe that, you know, you may not have been born with a disability, but it does touch you in your life somewhere. And if it hasn't yet, it will. So
absolutely.
You need to, you know, pay attention to the issues and to let people know that there are those opportunities out there for advocacy and for change. So thank you so much for your work, Karen. And that website, again, if people want to learn more, is?
accessliving.org.
Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure meeting you, even if over the phone. I hope to meet you in person someday soon. So thanks again for joining me. Karen Tamley, President and CEO of Access Living in Chicago. This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of your week.
No, I'm staying. Down, gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. Pushing me around, but I'll stand my ground.
This hour of programming is brought to you by the listeners of WEFT and Make It Champaign-Urbana. Make It Champaign-Urbana provides programs to assist new residents in getting connected to the community through the Champaign Welcome Crew. Are you passionate about the community? As an ambassador, you can help make a difference to new residents by answering their questions and sharing your community experiences. Ready to join over 50 ambassadors making a difference? For more information, visit makeitcu.com.
And you are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Coming up next is Food Sleuth Radio. But before that, I just want to mention that if you have an old car, truck, motorcycle, or boat that you'd like to get rid of, you can donate that vehicle to Charitable Adult Rides and Services and designate WEFT to receive the proceeds from your gift. All you need is a clear title. Charitable Adult Rides and Services will pick it up and haul it away with no charge to you. You can make arrangements on their website at careasy.com or call 855-500-RIDE. That's 855-500-7433. Remember, tell them you want WEFT to receive the proceeds. And coming up in just a couple minutes is Food Sleuth Radio. Actually, less than a couple minutes, more like seconds. But I just wanted to mention that we are still looking for donations for the community radio. And if you have not made your donation yet, you can help us out by going to our website at weft.org. Click on the Donate Now button. You can give a one-time donation. You can give a reoccurring donation, which really helps us because then we can have income that we can depend on each and every month. So encourage that, even if it's a lower amount than what you would initially give to give every month is really a great strategy for keeping community radio strong in our area. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening to the WEFT Courier. This is the last, almost the last piece of it today. We'll have where we're at next with your host, Ben, after Food Sleuth Radio. But first, Food Sleuth Radio. Thanks for tuning in today.